everything that is about to be said is necessary, so the clock doesn't bother us. We will be in the Word, and thank you, Brother Young. Take your Bibles and turn, first of all, to Matthew chapter 6. Heavenly Father, I pray that in the next few minutes, you'd help us to be focused. Lord, we need your Word. We need your wisdom. Both will be presented. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Before we get started, I want you to write down two things. Please take these two things down. Number one, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. The test of your Christian character is what it takes to stop you. Write that down. The test of your character is what it takes to stop you. Number two, in biblical accounts come principles for biblical living. In biblical accounts come principles for biblical living. And we will be seeing a biblical account this morning. But first of all, we're going to what is called the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 6, I want you to start with me, please, at verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Listen, please, verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment?" Listen, please. "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Two phrases. Behold the fowls of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. I guarantee you, in remembering Jesus' words in the years ahead, when trials and difficulties flowed, and they did, his true followers never looked at the birds in the sky and the flowers in the field the same way again. They did not. In the midst of difficulty, they see a flower, they see a bird, and they think, "I remember. I was there. I heard him speak." Now, you might stop and think, "Oh, you know, somebody says, oh, that's silly. You know what? Flowers in the field, birds, you know, that's, no, no." They can teach us a lot. These buckets are going to teach us something this morning as well. I pray that what happens this morning, you'll never look at a container like these the same way in your house. Before we get into the main text, I want to tell you something about oil. When we read about oil in the Bible, it usually meant olive oil. I remember when my wife and I were there, where these things were taking place on the Mount of Olives, where they were squeezed. A lot of story there. Can't go into it. But oil in the Bible was used for food. It was used for oil lamps. But there was something else that it was used for as well. It was used for anointing kings, priests. and it was a symbol of something. What that oil was a symbol of was the Holy Spirit, mentioned more than 200 times, time and again, so many times. Oil was seen coming down on a person in a picture of the Holy Spirit coming down on a person. Are you with me so far?
Amen.
1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day and forward. It was the same with Jesus, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It's the same with you and I today. Acts chapter 1. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now let's try to wrap our minds around this. We've got several places to go. It won't take long. We have been given the very presence of God in our lives. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you understand that the God of heaven couldn't be nearer to you because He dwells in you?
Amen.
Let's move on. He is with us. He indwells us. This presence. But the question is, how much is He allowed to fill? Let that sink in. What are the areas we are passionate for Him to fill? Are you still with me? We've been given the Holy Spirit. He indwells us, but how much is He allowed to fill? And where is He allowed to fill? With that in mind, please go to 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, Well, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house. Oh, wait a minute. Save a pot of oil. What do I have? Nothing but oil. Verse 3. Then he said, Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. By the way, notice, empty vessels. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door on thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Beautiful story. But we have a principle that is taught here that we need to learn. Elisha was approached by a desperate widow. The creditors are coming. She's going to lose her children. All she had was a vessel, one vessel with oil. He instructs her to gather all the containers, go to your neighbors, get them all, bring them in. And she did. Now understand again, oil signifies the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit coming in and what he does. David received the Holy Spirit and was a godly king. Can I ask you a question? If the Holy Spirit signifies the work of God, how many of these would you want in your house? If it was you, and you desire the work of the Holy Spirit, and somebody said, listen, this is what you do. You ask for that which can contain the Holy Spirit. You ask, how many would you bring in? When would you decide that you have enough? When? The prophet knew that the only limit to what God would do was how aggressively the woman believed and obeyed. Now, there are two things that God's people need to consider. There are two things right now, right here, that we need to consider. How we believe and how we obey. What is our passion? At a certain point, we decide whether we have brought in enough. The woman did. She began pouring from her original container, and it just kept coming. Why? Because the work of God was there. It kept flowing until she came to the last pot. The flow of oil ceased because the woman, the widow, had no capacity to receive anything more from God. Are you listening? There's principles here. It wasn't that God couldn't keep the oil coming. If she gathered a million vessels, they'd still be pouring today. God stopped because there was nothing left to fill. There was a limit that came. God responded to her level of faith. Did the woman sin by not gathering more pots? No. Please listen. She simply received according to her faith. Now, we've got a couple of other things that we need to draw into this. Go to Matthew chapter 13. We're weaving something here, and we're going to draw it together here in just a few moments. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus goes home. Look at verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and when he was come into his what country? His own country. He taught them in their synagogue, just like he had elsewhere, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were what? Say that word again. Come on, be with me now. They were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And this is one of the saddest verses in the entire Bible. And he did not many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Now, in studying this, I got to thinking about something, and I thought, oh my, how sad. If Nazareth was a typical city in this time, if you went there, you'd find lepers. You'd find children that are dying. You'd find bitter hearts. You'd find broken homes. You would find people that are wrapped up in anger, in discouragement. You would find people that had a desperate need for someone that could meet their need. But they were offended at Jesus. And he didn't do many mighty works there. All these people were left in their hopelessness. The one that could meet the need was there. Now let me ask you something, and don't lie in responding. Do you believe Jesus can meet every need we have? Say amen.
Amen.
Will we act like it today? Can I ask you a question? What kind of jars do you have in your life that need filled? I look at this. We got a church. Lord, it needs filled. We got ministries that need filled. We've got Sunday school. We've got Sunday school. We've got junior church. We've got missions giving. Hey, but it's more than that. It's much more than that. Do the people of Faith Baptist, does the pastor of Faith Baptist come? And even during the week, do we come singing that song, "Fill My Cup, Lord, I Lift It Up, Lord"? Or do we just pretend that we don't need the one that can fill? Would you please go to Luke chapter 5? We're getting there, but it's worth it. Luke chapter 5, look at verse 1, please. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your what? Your what? How many letters are in that word? Why? There's an S at the end, right? Nets. For a drop. And Simon answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the what? How many letters are there? Singular. Isn't that interesting? Let's continue. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net, singular, break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter has seen something incredible. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes, which they had taken. What do we have here in these passages? Unbelief. Unbelief that, number one, limited the opportunity of Almighty God to work. Number two, in fact, it outright denied the power of God. In some of my reading from this last week, I forget which book it was that I got this out of, but I read this and it stopped me cold. Because as a pastor, I thought, oh my soul, the responsibility that I have. But even you, are you listening? This writer wrote this. Could it be that the limits to your faith have been costing others around you? That's terrifying. Could it be that the limits to your faith have been costing others around you? Our faith is limited. People see it. They don't desire to go any further. People see the limits on our faith. They get discouraged. We get limited in our faith. Children don't hear the gospel. Something's not left at a door inviting them to church. A prayer goes unanswered because we wind up praying it faithlessly. Men come next weekend, and because we haven't prayed like we should, there's not much that God does there. In fact, many mighty works does He do there because of the faithlessness of the people that are responsible. Are we listening this morning? Why? Lord, you know, I got other things in my pot. It's okay, Lord. I understand it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and You will fill it if I surrender and I ask and I confess. But Lord, you know, I got a lot of other things that are just too important right now. And He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Do you remember what the church at Laodicea was going to be like? Go to Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. By the way, I'm so glad that God knows our works, but there are times I am not glad that He knows them, that He knows my work. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Why? Listen to this. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I came to church, but really, preacher, I don't need what you're preaching. As a matter of fact, I read my Bible when I can, but you know, I'm so busy. Yeah, I've got a good job, and it takes a lot of time. But Lord, thank you for salvation. And we wind up kicking over another pot, and another, and another. Because we don't need our vessels filled. That's why we're in trouble. It's not because of the politicians, it's the pastors and the people who decide whether or not they're going to listen to the pastors. The Word of God. And so once again, we have an election like our brother spoke so well. There are biblical principles that are at stake right now. There is freedom of religion that is at stake right now. Let me ask you, Are we living in a day where our vessels need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Are we? Are we willing to go before the Lord and say, Lord, listen. There's a vessel, Lord. It represents an unsaved family member. Lord, I need your work in this. Lord, please fill it. Lord, here's a vessel. It represents my marriage. Lord, I need your work in this. God, please fill it. Thanks to Brad, I got a really good one this morning. Lord, I need victory over sin. I'm telling you, it hurts. God, please fill it. Now let me ask you, you got any jars? You got any vessels that need filled? See, I've said it so many times because I've had to say it to myself. The easiest person in the world for you to lie to is yourself. I know because I've done it with me. And we can hear what the Word of God has to say. We can hear the biblical principles. But the fact of the matter is, we might be thinking about somebody else. Boy, I hope they hear this message. Or, you know, we're like the people at the Olympics. Well, preacher's doing a little bit better. He looks better now. You know, his forehead is healing up. Still has that little red dot on his nose. You know, but, you know, I'll give him an 8-9 this morning. Last week he was just a 7-5. You know, doing all, you know, one of these days he might work his way up into a 9-5 again. He might even do a 10. I'm not here to entertain. God brought me here. And if you're looking for entertainment, there's lots that you can find up and down Watt Avenue. Have a ball. But the Word of God is open in this place. And we have to understand that we are vessels that need to be filled, and we have vessels that need to be filled. And if we are not moved by the wages of sin, if we are not moved by the need for salvation, if we are not moved for the need of the testimony of Jesus Christ in America, we might as well forget it. We might as well just set it aside. Why? Because Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. You know, how can I say this? I get to talk to police officers. I love telling them that over 4 years now, every time I've seen them, I've prayed for them. I have never had an officer not appreciate that. Can I open up my heart a little bit here? You know, you were talking about work. You know what my work is? My work is to pray for you. My work is to study this word and open it up. And just, we've got Sunday school teachers. They open up the Word of God. We've got people that desire, you know, they want to hear, give the gospel to somebody. This is what our work is. But this is what my work is here. It is to open the Word of God and pray that we hear it. And I don't know what is allowed to happen by you in your heart. I just know this. One day, we are all going to stand before God. I'm going to give an account for what I did behind this sacred desk. You're going to give an account by what you did with what whoever was preaching the Word of God. But we all will give an account. If we do not take faith seriously, we will look in the eyes of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us, and we will be ashamed. There are things that I think of in my life that have gone past that I cringe. There's too much wood, hay, and stubble already in my life. God help me. Now, I know that sometimes we treat a local church like a club. Well, that club is better over there. Listen, you go where you are called, and then you get serious in that calling, just like a pastor. But please understand, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Because they wanted their vessels filled. So let's draw this together. Like we said, oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. There are areas in our lives that desperately need the work of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What do your receptacles represent? Victory over sin, victory over self. A loved one in need of salvation. A ministry, an unanswered prayer, a nation dying under its own sin. Unbelief strangles and cuts short the work of God. So, are we getting it yet? Are we going to look at the birds of the field, the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, go, you know what? One day, that same kind of creature, that same kind of flower, boy, taught some people an awful lot. And I guarantee you that the woman who had those jars filled and sold them, sold the oil in them, I guarantee you that she never forgot that when she looked at the pots in her house, when she looked at the vessels, she remembered. You know what I desire? This sounds silly, but I hope and pray that every time you go to mop a floor, wash a car, however you use this, you stop and you look at these things and you say, Lord, fill it. Please, God, fill it. Why? Because it represents what God can do. And if we don't take these things seriously, then you know what's going to suffer? The local church. The family, a nation that is desperately in need of healing. You stop and think about it. Let's just consider this. Now, not many people brought them. That's okay. That's fine. I took heed to what Brad said last week. They really are a dollar over at the dollar store. Let's just say this vessel right here represents your life. In fact, let's just say that the vessels that we have here, they represent several areas in your life. Honestly, before God, don't raise your hand, don't say anything. I just want you to think. Before God, because He knows your heart, if it takes the emptying of self, death to self, if it takes the confession of sin, if it means getting clean, not just cleaner, but clean, let me ask you something. How much do you want your vessel filled? With only what God can do through His Spirit. Well, you know, preacher, that's good. No, listen. A local church needs to continue in ministry. 200 men are coming to be ministered to. And a nation is hanging by a thread. Now, how important is it for our vessels to be filled? Not with opinion, but with Him. Not with my desires, but with Him. And with only what He can do. Do we want our vessels filled? Or is Matthew 13 going to be the title, if you will, the last word about us? And He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. If there is unbelief, it needs to be confessed, and it needs to be confessed now. Is the God of heaven pleased this morning? Now listen, and I'm done. Is the God of heaven pleased this morning with the faith He has found at faith? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would guide in this invitation right now. Lord, I pray that You'd do a work. Thank You for the work that You have done in my life. Lord, I know that You need to continue that work. Because that verse in Matthew 13 terrifies me. Lord, I don't want this local church to be a place where You don't do many mighty works because of unbelief.